This message is for me on up. It starts with me. It's for all of us. Because for us to do this introspection, like we say at this season of Passover and then at Sukkot, we're going to go through it again in a different way. But there is a cleaning up of our lives that happens. There's sometimes pride gets in the way to keep us from saying to somebody what we really need to say. And the Father gives us great opportunities in His Word and through like foot washing. Because foot washing, if you know, it's not only about cleansing, it is very, it's a very humbling and a very humble act. During the day, before we get into it, during the day when people would come into people's houses, they didn't have shoes like we have. Most of them were barefooted. If you had sandals, you probably had some money. But you were usually barefooted. And so when you come into somebody's house, people had servants there. And the moment you come in the house, servants would do what? They would wash their feet. The owner of the house didn't do it. The man who owned the house, he didn't do it. But yet, that's a humbling experience because that was where a slave or a servant, that was his job. That's what he did. And he should do it with pride. But as we go into this, we will see the master of the house did the washing of the feet. And it's to show us one thing, that we are not to ever forget who we are. That we will never be the master. That we will always be his servants. We as a people need to learn that we don't just serve one another one time. It is a lifestyle. There are some people in my life that I've come across that I could have knocked to the moon. But you know what my Heavenly Father said? Do it. You'll just go up to the moon and wash his feet. Sometimes in life, this happens to us. Why we get that way? I get that way sometimes. Tammy will say, you need to go in that closet and start praying. You need to go in there and figure out. You need to ask him what's going on. Something's wrong. Am I the only one that happens to? It happens to all of us sometimes. But the Father doesn't want us to be that way, stay that way, or operate that way. Amen? And that's what this is really, really about. A while back in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2, this was not last month, but the month before, this was our scripture for the month. And it says, this is how one should regard us. If y'all remember this, this is how one should regard us as servants of Messiah and stewards of the mysteries of Elohim. We are to be regarded as servants and stewards. That's how somebody is to look at us. Verse 2 says, moreover, it is required of stewards that they are found faithful. So with this, we're talking about stewardship, about servanthood, and this is what we're to be about. Let's go to John chapter 13, and we'll start with our text. I hope that there's a way that we can do this justice today. Because as we go through these scriptures, I'm going to ask you to put yourself in the position of Yeshua himself. Because in reality, he did this as an example. Because what he's fixing to go through and what he's going through, we've been through it too. And we go through it. But I'm just really afraid that in my life, I have not responded like he did. And that's what this is about. Amen? Do we want to be free? We want to be free. We got to do it the way he says to do it. And sometimes he asked us to do things that are hard. But the hard things sometimes is what it takes to set us free. We were talking in the Oneg earlier. Nobody likes to go through the fire. I don't like to go through the fire. I'd like to know that I could pass the test and bypass the fire. But the three Hebrew children, they got delivered where? In the fire. You see, so the thing about it is whether you go through the fire or whether he delivers you before that, like with Abraham, even if he was going to kill his son, he knew and he believed that the word that the Father gave him is, you promised me a seed and an heir. And I believe this is him. So if I kill him, you're going to raise him up. Sometimes in our life, that's what we go through. But what we do is, and I'm very guilty of it, is when that comes to me, I start doing, let's make a deal. You know, give me door number one, number two, and number three. See, I want to start making, let's make a deal with him. Because I really don't like what he presented me with. But do you know what? He'll say, you really don't want door number one, door number two, or door number three. And then after you think about it and you pray about it, you're right. Because he designed me to handle the deal that he gave me. And if I will have faith and walk through it, then he will protect me because he said he would not put anything on any of us more than we're able to handle. But what happens is we get in that deal making and we'll start choosing other doors, and then all of a sudden we don't like what's behind those other doors, and then we get in a mess of trouble. So let's make a deal. Verse 1, it says, now before the feast of Passover, when Yeshua knew, okay, here we are, Yeshua knows, he knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father. This is his mindset. He knows his hour has come. He's going to be departing. He's going to die. He knows this. They don't know this, but he knows this. Having loved his own who were in the world, he's talking about these disciples that he has right here with him. Having loved his own who was in the world, he loved them how long? To the end. He loved them to the end. I had to take a deep breath. Don't nobody cry. You get me crying. Think about this. He loved them to the end. Now, what does he know at this point? What does Yeshua know at this point? He knows who's going to betray him. And you know what's even worse? In his hour of greatest need, they're all going to abandon him. And he loved them to the end. That's what this is about. When we know that somebody's going to abandon us, can we love them to the end? That's what this message is about. Because I can tell you, we can love people when they're good to us. But when somebody stabs you in the back, that's a hard person to love. But the Father understands the end from the beginning. And that's where we don't. But yet, even in his greatest hour of need, he knows his disciples, not just Judas, all of them are going to abandon him. They're going to leave him while he's going through all the torture. They're going to leave him until he says, it is finished, all the way to the end. And then even at the resurrection, when he comes in, they can't believe it's him. But this is the love that he wants us to have. This is what he's going to be telling Peter a little bit later in the story. So he loves them, even though he knows that they're all going to fail him in his greatest hour of need. It says, during supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. It's like Cherie said, Yeshua already knows the devil's here at the table. And the devil has already done his work. And he knows who he went into. He didn't rebuke him. He knows that's part of the process. Judas didn't know he was going to be used. There's 12 disciples that the Father chose for Yeshua. Amen? Whether Yeshua chose them, it's the working of the Holy Spirit. All of that works together. At the very beginning, I'm sure Judas probably felt like I was privileged to be chosen. But then look what he ended up to be chosen for. Because the Father knew his heart. We talk about the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. We talk all the way through Scripture. Just because you go to River of Life doesn't make you bulletproof. Just because you go to a church doesn't make you bulletproof. This is about relationship. This is about making sure that this relationship is solid. Making sure that your calling and your election is sure. Making sure that this is... Because sometimes in life, if you've never been backstabbed before, maybe you can talk to me. Tell me how you did it. But guys, I believe everybody in here, unless you're a child, and y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but maybe you will one day. But somebody has betrayed us. somewhere down the line. How did we respond or how did we react? I'm just trying to set this as what's fixing to happen here. And Yeshua knows this. Does it do him any good to try to explain it to them, because they're not going to understand what he's saying? They don't even really know what's going on. Verse 3. Yeshua, knowing that the Father has given all things into his hand, and that he has come from Elohim and he is going back to Elohim, rose from supper. And he laid aside his outer garment, taking a towel, and he tied it around his waist. He poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet. All of his disciples' feet. Even who? Even Judas. Even the one who's going to betray him, he washed his feet, showing ultimate humility to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Then he came to Simon Peter and he said to him, he says, Master, do you wash my feet? Yeshua answered him, What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand. What does that mean? And afterwards you will understand. When Shavuot comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, will come the understanding of everything that we're doing now. Right now you don't understand this, but there's one that's going to come when I go away, and he's going to fill you, and he's going to bring understanding to the knowledge that you've got. And you will understand exactly what's happening here. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Yeshua answered him, and he said this, If I do not wash you, everybody, what did he say? You have no share, or you have no part with me. Now, Yeshua is saying something that's very, very, very serious to him. If I don't wash your feet, you have no part, or you share no part with me. Do you see how serious foot washing is? And the reason why this is because he's telling you, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. Now, we all know that Peter was the one who was always, Peter was good about every time he opened his mouth, he changed feet. Can we say that? He always had his foot in his mouth. He was always the one that was out there boasting, always this, that, and the other. The Father showed me something in this week, and it was this. Here he is. I just want you to think about this, and you tell me if I'm wrong. And you can, and I'm good with it. Yeshua's doing something to his 12 disciples, knowing one of them's not going to be there. He understands that, but he's got 11 left. So he's doing something to the 11 to etch in their mind something. Whenever I leave them, and I'm not with them any longer, no more coming back, coming through walls and all of that, once this on the 42nd day, whenever he was ascended, and he's there. How are the 11 going to act? Are they going to say, I'm in charge? I'm the one he left. I'm the one that has this. I'm the one here. I'm going to start this congregation, and all of y'all are going to start. Human nature tells me, if you take 11 people, they're going to start 11 different works. Now you tell me if I'm not wrong. Because the thing is, he's trying to tell them, you are never going to be more important than me. And you're going to have to serve the people. If you don't have the mindset of servanthood, if you don't have that, you will go off and you will start your own cults, what you'll do. You will go off and you will start dividing, and everything that I put into you for 3 years, everything that I put in and invested in you, you're going to lose it. Because you're going to be scattered. Because guess what, guys? It ain't about you. And do you know what Yeshua was saying? It wasn't about me. It was really about my Father. Because my Father asked me to do this. I come to serve you. I come to serve mankind. You don't realize every one of you in just a few hours are going to scatter and tuck tail, and you're going to run. And you're going to hide. And you're going to watch at a distance. He's trying to put into their minds at this time of this supper that when they were together, because here's another thing. I believe with all of my heart, if I knew that I was going to die within 12 hours I would be telling people what I really wanted them to know the most. This is why I believe this is so important. Because these are instructions he's leaving before he's fixing to die. Because you got to realize, these people, whenever that crowd comes and Judas leads them to that garden, they're going to scatter. Peter's going to follow at a distance. And what he's going to do is worse than what they're going to do, because he's going to deny him. Even when he boasted, I'll never leave you. I'll die for you. I'll do all of these things for you. And he says, no, you won't. You're going to scatter with the rest of them. You're not only that, you're going to deny me three times. And you know, the beautiful thing, and I'll say this, you know how much the Father loves Peter? At the resurrection, what did he say? Go tell Peter. Because he knew how he must have felt. Because he didn't have his time before his death. Peter didn't have his time to be able to come to his feet and say, I'm sorry I denied you. Sitting here at a distance and allowing his master to die, totally not understanding what's going on. I thought he was the Messiah. I thought he was going to start the kingdom. I thought he was King David. I thought. What did he say? What I do now, you don't understand. Because you're thinking a different time. You're thinking a different time and set up for a kingdom. You don't understand. What I've got to do is I got to take care of your sin problem first. Because you can't take your sin problem into the kingdom everlasting. Amen? So that's what he's saying here. Verse 9. Simon Peter said to him, he says, Master, not only my feet, or my feet only, but also my hands and my head. See, there goes Peter. He's not satisfied. Not on my feet, just give me a bath. Yeshua said to him, he said, the one who has bathed does not need to be washed. The one that's redeemed through mikvahs and cleansing and accepting is redeemed. You don't need to do that again for redemption, except for his feet, but it's completely clean. And he says, you are clean, but not every one of you. Verse 11, for he knew the one who was to betray him, and that was why he said, not all of you are clean. Verse 12, he says, but when he had washed their feet and he had put on his outer garment, he resumed his place and he said to them, do you understand what I've done? Knowing, like I said before, he's bringing out, do you understand what I've done? You'll see here, they didn't answer him. Verse 13, he says this, Yeshua says this, he says, you call me teacher and master, you are right, and for so I am. If then your master and your teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. This is what he's saying. You need to put one another, all of you disciples, all 11 of you, you're going to have to guard from allowing the enemy to come in to divide and conquer. You're going to have to always know that you need to outdo serving one another. If you 11 can outdo serving one another, what did Paul do? Paul said, what place did he put himself among all the apostles? Last. He understood it. Paul understood it. Paul come from a place to where he killed the Christians. He killed believers. He knew he didn't deserve to be there. Remember what we've said before, and if y'all that are new, the other ones has heard this. Think about it. Moses, David, Paul, they had one thing in common. They were all murderers. They all kill people. They all kill somebody. And so you see that in here, Paul knew where he came from. He knew, I did not deserve to be placed in this lineup. I didn't deserve to be placed in this lineup. And through his ministry, you will see him fighting to be the most humble of all of the apostles, saying, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. I'm the least of this. But you'll see him correct a handful of them from time to time. But do you know that whenever the Father gave Paul that ministry to go to the Gentiles, he never placed himself that I'm the apostle for the Gentiles. Whenever things were happening, he humbled himself. He went in Acts 15 to the Jerusalem council to Peter, James, and John, and he says, and he made appeals to them. He knew the proper order. They kept themselves as leaders, servants to one another. He didn't come and have a big old band of camels that said, here comes Paul's ministry. He didn't have that. Like you see evangelists and all of that today. Got their names plastered in lights, got their names to everybody, and everybody's going to see the man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't get healed until I get to see the man. That is not what this is about. The man hung on the cross. Amen. The man took the beating for us. That's the man that brings the healing to our body, spirit, soul, and body. All we are is servants. There should never be a name on the side of somebody's bus. Now, I know I'm meddling now, but that's just my opinion about it. Because how are you going to take credit for this word? How are you going to take credit that you lay hands on somebody and they're healed? How do you take credit for that? You can't take credit for that, because he can give you the anointing to do something, but you know what? As fast as he gives you the anointing to do it, he could do what? Snatch it right back. And he could pull that thing back, because he said, I will not share my glory with another. And that's very, very important. He's drilling this in. How many times in the scriptures do you see Paul roll in the town and the people fall at his feet? Oh, Hermes, oh, Mercury. Thinking that they're the Greek gods that's coming here because they're seeing all these miracles happen. He's saying, man, you need to get up. I'm a mere man just like you. Why am I saying this? Because that was great opportunity for Paul to find him a nice bus and put his name on the side of it. Whenever you got people falling at your feet when you show up to do a revival, that should never, ever happen. This is why this is important. The foot washing is to show forth humility, that we are servants to one another. And this is what he says, for I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. So he's telling them, the very thing that I've done to you, this is what you've got to do. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now I'm going to read something. There's this lady who done an article. Her name's Elizabeth Johnson. CNN went to interview this lady in Africa. Okay? And I'm going to just try to read it as it is. And I want you to tell me if you can do this. In this article, and then I'll get to the lady after the paragraph. Yeshua's commandment to love one another is not a commandment to feel affection, but the commandment to act in a loving way, even when we would rather do otherwise. Of course, we always fall short of Elohim's perfect love, but that cannot be an excuse to nurse grudges and wallow in unloving behavior, as we are all washed by Yeshua in Elohim's deep and generous love. Our hearts are stretched to love more completely, fully, and unwaveringly. He said, I'm reminded of a documentary I saw years ago on CNN, in which the reporter interviewed a woman from Rwanda, and her name is Iphigenia. That's an African name, and I don't know what that means. And she is a wife and a mother, okay? So you're going to hear me say wife and a mother instead of her name. She was from the Tutsi tribe, and during the Rwandan genocide in 1994, her husband and five children were clubbed and hacked to death by a mob of the Hutus, including one of her neighbors. Then, one of her neighbors, who had participated in the massacre, there was one of her neighbors turned and participated in this massacre that killed her husband and five kids, spent 7 years in prison, and then went before the tribal court, and he had asked for forgiveness from this wife and mother and the whole community. This wife and mother opened up her heart and forgave her neighbor. But that did not end there. This same wife and mother was a master weaver. And she taught her neighbor's wife, the one that did all of the bath, taught this man's wife how to weave baskets. The two became friends and business partners. On that day, the reporter was interviewing this lady. The wife and mother invited these same neighbors into her home and was serving them dinner. That's right. She was serving dinner to the man who killed her husband and 5 children. I'm just letting that sink in for a moment, because I don't know if I could have done that. 7 years has passed. People make mistakes. Some mistakes are greater than others. Sometimes we wallow and we hold grudges, and we're no near close to that. We're no way near close to that. And we allow things to interfere in our lives as brothers and sisters. Are we not disciples of Yeshua? If we're disciples of Yeshua, he's telling us that we're to outserve one another as disciples. I am to outserve you. Pastor, I'm a pastor. But all that means that I am a shepherd, and that just means I got to get busy about serving you guys. It is not a place to where I can sit here to be served. I'm not the one to sit at the end of the table. I'm the one that washes the feet when you come in. I'm the one that makes sure everybody's fed before I go in line. That's what we do. That's what this is all about. And I just really want to put it in perspective, because the body of Messiah has crazy stuff going on in our lives, and we haven't had our husband and kids killed. And for this lady to turn around and have it in her heart to forgive the man, not only forgive him, serve him dinner at where her husband and children ate. That's washing feet. And it said this. It says, when asked how she found it in her heart to forgive, the lady simply said, I'm a Christian and I pray a lot. I'm a Christian and I pray a lot. Sounds like Miss Mary from Kenya. Little words, little English words, don't have a lot. In other words, when somebody asks you a question like that, she doesn't give you an hour sermon of perfect words. All she can say is I'm a believer. Do you know what she's saying? I represent him. Yeah. I represent him. What happened to me was awful. What happened to me was bad. What happened to me in everybody else's life who's not a believer is unforgivable and unforgettable. She don't forget her husband. She doesn't forget her children. But she learned John 13. She learned what it meant. And I guess it affects me, because I don't know if I could have done that. You know what I mean? Because sometimes in life, people crosses us. And like I said, I want to knock them to the moon. Blow up off of stupid little things. Don't even halfway go through the losses that some people go through. People like that put me to shame. To be able to forgive like that. I know I got one of these. I'll be glad when Passover's over. But it just hit me in a way. That's why foot washing. I didn't want to do away with it. I want it to mean something. I want us to understand what it means. I want us to understand that it's not about getting your feet wet. It's not about a time of partying. It's not about that. That's not what this is about. This is about us to check ourselves. Can we do what this woman did? And I'm just saying this. This is about all of us, and I'm asking you the question. I don't ask you to tell me the answer. Because you know what? You don't know what your answer is going to be until you put in that situation. There's no way. Peter, every time he answered, he was wrong. Except one. He said, who are you? And he said, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. He said, well, you didn't get that on your own. The Holy Spirit revealed that to you. He couldn't take credit for that. But the thing about it is that I don't want to be a Peter before the Holy Spirit fell. I want to be a Peter after it fell. And even he made a mistake, and Paul had to correct him. We're going to make mistakes. But we can ever, never, never, never get ourselves in a position to where we can't humbly serve one another. It can't happen. Because this is what he says. If you get in that place, you have no part with me. That's what he's saying. That's as heavy as it gets. Because he's saying, how in the world How in the world can you not forgive one when I did all of this to forgive you? How can Yahweh sit here and say, you know what? I sent you my best. And you, as mankind, destroyed him. I allowed you to do it. Destroyed his body. Humiliated him. Knowing within him he had the power to call down the angels to kill all of you. I had the power during the time of the flood to kill all of you. All of the animals. Just repent that I ever made man. Do you know how much love that is? And a lot of times we have these little bitty penny ante things that we wallow in, and we don't even really understand the magnitude of what we're dealing with at these feasts and festivals. And what he's trying to teach us as his disciples is so mega important for us that we respond in the right way in everything that we do. So I'm sitting up here exposing myself and telling you that I don't know. I hope and pray that I can. This is why I need a community of people, and this is why we need one another. Because I can promise you, you lean to your own understanding, you're going to fail every time. And when it's hard, and when there's a time, and something happens in somebody's life, and it's hard, people need you to rally around them, to lift them up in prayer. They need you to really and speak comforting things and serve. There's going to be a time in everybody's life in here that you're going to need your feet washed. You're going to need to be sitting in that chair because you know what? You just can't do it anymore. And that's the time you sit in that chair and you let somebody humbly wash your feet, minister to you in your life, and help you get up cleansed, refreshed, renewed, and let's move on to the next stage of our life. Amen. And I just thought about this lady. Let me see if she's got, I think that was pretty close to the end of that. It said this. Well, this is the lady then because of what she said. She says, left to our human resources, this kind of love and forgiveness would be inconceivable. But it is possible because of the one who loves us fully and completely. The one who loves us to the end, even to the cross, to the grave, and back. And I thought that that in that article, it just really summed everything up about what this is about. So I just want you guys to know, get prepared this week. Pray. If there's somebody that you need to call on the phone, don't wait till then. If there's somebody that whatever happens, allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. It may not be here and here. It may be here and wherever. It doesn't matter. It may be, this is the time for us to walk in freedom. You know, me and Arnold talk a lot about this, at generational curses. There's a lot of times that things happen in our lives that maybe our fathers or our forefathers or whatever, you need to pray. And if you haven't never done that, you need to pray. If there's things that you need to bind, if there's something that's a ball and chain in your life, we need to be free. In this Passover season, guys, we can be free. I want to be free. I want to be able to be the proper example that I need to be. And I'm telling you, this African woman put me to shame. Just flat put me to shame. I love everybody here. I'm very protective of everybody here. I just am. You know, that's part of a shepherd, I think, to have that in there. I got to know when to be a lion, and I got to know when to be a lamb. And that's what he's ministering to me. You got to know, because guess what? If you're a lion at the wrong time, you can destroy somebody's life. I got to be a lamb. I got to be sensitive. I got to be able to minister to that one, male or female, doesn't matter. I got to be able to minister to that one and not be so short-sighted. I need to be long-suffering. We need to be long-suffering for one another. Now, let me say this. Truth, speaking in truth, somebody is in sin. We just need to come up however it works out. We need to deal with it head on. We don't need to put it under the rug. Guys, we got to learn. We got to get through this shame business. That's pride's what that is. If there's an issue, we got to deal with it. He is looking for a spotless bride. He's not looking for a bride that's got issues. He's not looking for a bride that's got baggage. And I just wanted to put in perspective before I close in prayer is this. Yeshua, knowing before he died, he loved them to the end. That's what he's asking me and you to do. No matter who has put hoodoo in our life, can we love them to the end? That's what he's telling us. Can we do that? Can we do that? Now, understanding, and I want to say this, another thing. There's people in the body of Messiah that has totally went against Yahweh's ways and his words and all of that. They may have been marked or whatever. I'm not talking about that situation. That situation has already been dealt with. They need to come to repentance. And then when they do, you got to have an open heart to receive them back. Okay? I want to make sure, because I don't want to have misplaced guilt either. There's proper of how all of this works. I'm just talking about us and what's going in our lives for this season. Jeremiah said it. He said there was a word for someone. I believe it. It could have been for all of us. But the thing about it is the Father loves us. I'm just so blown away how every feast and cycle, there's something different. There's something new. There's some new way of looking at some new twist. There's a new freedom. There's a new whatever happens to people in their life. And I think about these in the treasure chest. Now, I know it's a little, I'm ending here. Can I get everyone who's comes under the hoopah, can y'all stand up? All you young ones that get to be under the hoopah, I need y'all to stand up. This is what I need you to help us do. I need you to help your parents. What I want to do is every day this week, we're not making a vow, because if we make a vow and we don't do it, then it's sin. I don't want to put anybody in bondage. But what I want you to do is this. These people in this box, in this treasure chest, need their feet washed. Remind your parents, you, all of you under the hoopah, you're blessed to have parents that love you. You're blessed to be in a situation to where you can be here. You're blessed to have a community that can love you. A lot of these people in that treasure chest, they don't have that. I'm believing and praying that they will, and that somebody's going to be able to come in their path to be able to rescue them or to whatever happens to them in their life. But this week, all the way up to the day of our foot washing, which is on Friday, I want you children, because our parents, there's a lot of things going on in their life in this week, believe me, getting 11 out and all of that. I want you guys to remind your parents at least one time a day, y'all pray for these in that treasure chest. Just remind your parents, we need to pray for them in the treasure chest. If y'all can do that, parents, let's try to do that. Life is good. It's been good to me. Life is good. And I just want to, in this season, those that might be less fortunate than we are. I know we pray for them up here, and I know that there's a lot of people pray for them every day. But not everybody, but I want all of the young ones underneath the hoopah. I believe if we can pray, we can set some of these in that treasure chest free this week. Amen. So just remind your parents, and y'all get together sometime every day and pray for those that are in the treasure chest. Can we do that? Try to do that? I know we'll try to send out emails to remind everybody. Amen. All right, y'all can be seated. We'll close in prayer.